Good morning, caller. You are on the air.
Hey, guys. Well, I have a question for Cynthia, although I guess before I ask the question, I do appreciate the fact that you've got sort of an open mic format. I think that's pretty good.
Good.
Thank you. And before you ask your question, you must remember that I'm already married.
And she has the right to remain silent.
That wasn't the question, although maybe it would have been my next one. But no, I was just going to ask you, Cynthia, if you'd had a chance to look at that video of the Keene City EMT swiping a journalist's camera.
I have not. I have it marked on my computer, and any year now I'm going to go back and look at it, but I do not.
You got my email about that?
I did.
All right. And you're going to look at it?
I am going to look at it.
And when you look at it, what will she accomplish when she looks at it?
She'll just learn a little bit more about what's going on in the streets of her own town.
Or the courthouses?
Yeah, this is right. Well, it was this was on the right-of-way in front of the Keene City Hall, actually.
Okay, all right.
My understanding that was a potential HIPAA Act violation to make public a patient, and I'm using very generic terms. Caller?
Well, where does HIPAA ban videographers from videotaping patients on the street who want to be videotaped?
Well, I don't know if the person wanted to be videotaped.
He did. I can tell you. I know him.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't have the answer. That's the short answer. But that's what I guess I've heard and read, at least on the city side of the equation.
Right.
Have you? Is it Fred I'm talking to?
Yes.
Have you?
And who am I speaking? Oh, never mind. We don't do that on this.
No.
It's Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com.
Oh, how are you?
Good. Have you seen the video?
I have. Yes.
Okay, what's your take on it?
You know, there are two sides to every story, and I have not heard the city side except to say that they believe it's a HIPAA it would have been a HIPAA violation. And did the patient in this case have the right to waive that? I don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm not that bright. And I know that the Free State Project has some disagreement with what occurred there, and I don't have any influence in such matters, so what I think doesn't count.
Well, I think you do have influence just by having a radio show in addition to your government position.
I don't have a government position, and I am only an occasional guest, and actually next month will be my last time on this radio station.
Okay, so you no longer hold any position at all.
I do not, no. I'm a citizen taxpayer.
Well,
sorry.
The bully pulpit is an important position.
Well, it can be.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Fred.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye now. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hey, good morning, Cynthia and Fred. It's Sam from FreeKeene.com.
Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Hey, so I wanted to comment real quick on the HIPAA thing. First off, I think it's important to point out that this legislation came out when records, I believe, about a senator's wife's breast implants were publicized in the media. So then they did this huge crackdown on patient records. But I think in the video, it's pretty clear that there were no patient records at risk as this man was being wheeled out to the ambulance. And also, Nick Ryder has uncovered some footage shot by Philip Bantz at the Keene Sentinel showing that the same thing, a patient being given care by the EMTs and nobody was attacking him. Nobody came up and stole his phone. Nobody called out six sheriffs to come and shut down free speech in whatever areas they determined they wanted to do that. And there's no regulations or there's nothing in the HIPAA regulations that even talks about videotaping people giving care by EMTs. And news crews do it all the time, including WMUR, who was at the Cheshire County Medical Center filming all the patients actually inside the hospital going to get their government flu shots that the big pharma has hoisted on everybody.
So what is it that you're alleging? What violation of what law are you alleging? I assume you're alleging something like that.
Oh, I wasn't, but I mean, what I saw is...
Well, then you must think it was okay if you don't think it was wrong.
I wasn't here to allege that laws were broken. That doesn't mean that I think it's okay, Fred. You know, unless the EMTs are there to enforce the laws, then what he did was unauthorized taking. That's theft,
uh-huh.
Simple assault when you rip somebody's phone out of their hand. And then whoever took that was guilty of receiving stolen property,
mm-hmm.
which happened to be another law enforcement officer.
I see.
So, I mean,
okay.
It's amazing. I go into these situations and think, What is the dumbest thing that the city can do? And these guys manage to outsmart me every time. Now, the reason I'm calling those about global warming and ClimateGate, which has come out here recently and been proven to be a fraud, and I'm wondering if you guys have heard anything about this, or what you think about it, how long it will take for the schools to start correcting the incorrect science that they're being taught.
Al was talking about it on his show today. Yeah. That's as much as I've heard about
it. Well, I've heard and read, right. I've heard and read and heard it said that the mainstream media is playing it down or not reporting it at all.
Right.
There are people who would allege some kind of conspiracy there that they are ignoring it largely. And I don't know if it's true or not true. I only know what I read and hear. But it certainly does raise some doubt, does it not, and some suspicion that there is some kind of worldwide conspiracy going on amongst scientists and political leaders of all stripes and colors. For what end, for what gain, I'm not sure, except I know there is a financial pot of money associated with much of this.
Yeah, let me shed some light on that, Fred. Al Gore has created his clearinghouse, and he's been given the approval by the, you know, by the head body of whoever's organizing this up. I don't know which organization it is, but he's going to basically be the clearinghouse for all of the payments that countries make, and eventually individuals would be. This is really a tax on individuals that they would be making. So essentially, he's been given authority to basically be the Enron of carbon credits. So he's already made $1 billion off of this. He's come out and admitted that. He used to say, oh, no, I do this because I care about the climate and so forth, and now that's changed. Now he's making money off of it. And Ban Ki-moon, who's the head of the UN, wrote an editorial in the New York Times, I think about a month ago now, called We Can Do It, or something like that, where at the end he talks about, you know, in order to save the planet from doom and gloom, which the planet's actually getting cooler is what the consensus of scientists think, that this cap and tax system will need to be put in place in order to fund a global governance structure. So they're talking about funding this new global government that's maybe headed up through the UN and so forth, and funding it through this cap and trade or cap and tax carbon credit, where, you know, you and I are exhaling 5.5 pounds of CO2 a day, so they're
Don't forget the cows in the dairy fields over in Vermont.
Right. Or your pets. I mean, you're going to eventually end up
not
paying taxes on your pets that generate methane and CO2.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I had the answer, I'd be king instead of just a dumb guy on the radio.
Well, I'm wondering how long is it going to take for government to reverse its policy? They clearly have a vested interest here in taxing people, and it looks like they're trying to allow some unelected, unaccountable body to come in and take over this Copenhagen Treaty.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way to get out of it unless all the other countries agree, but because the United States is one of the countries paying in, nobody's going to agree, oh, yeah, we can let them go and they don't have to pay anymore.
It all comes
down to money, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Money
and control and power.
And I think the United Nations is probably the most dysfunctional body, governmental body or quasi-governmental body that has ever existed on this planet.
Yeah, well, the further away you get from the local politicians who are most accountable because, you know, they're within arm's length, so to speak, the less accountable, the more corruption and fraud that you get.
And part of that process, I've said it a million times, is we need term limits. We cannot let our politicians get too far away from us in terms of years, because every year they're a little more distant in terms of remembering who sent them and why they were sent. And it's only part of the equation. I'll acknowledge it's not the total answer, but it's part of it.
I would agree with you, Fred, but I believe in instant term limits. In the private market, when somebody commits fraud or does something wrong or, you know, is doing something you disagree with, that person could be fired right there on the spot. Or as a customer, I could vote with my dollars and stop shopping at that particular store. But in government, you only get that chance every 2 or 4 years because of these term limits. And that's another one of the ways that government and politicians isolate itself from consequences of their actions.
And why do you think so few people take advantage of that opportunity?
To run for office?
No. To get rid of someone that they know is not serving them well, and yet they continue to put those people back in office. Why?
Well, if you look at the reincumbent rates, they're 96%. They're higher here than they were in the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to tell you something right off the bat. And if you hear about McCain and these other folks calling for campaign finance reform, what they're really talking about is regulating, creating a bunch of rules and a bunch of hoops that the incumbents know how to navigate through. And this is why, you know, in politicians, you get people who are wealthy, who can afford, a lot of them are lawyers, who can read the legalese and understand how to jump through all the hoops the government has set up.
Right.
And so, you know, they're using these against the people. They're using them to keep third parties from forming. I mean, come on, in a nation of 300 million people, there are only two possible political positions. Why is it in Sweden they have several hundred parties that actually have members in their government bodies and so forth?
Right. Well, all that said, Sam, and I know you and I often don't agree on issues, I am firmly in the belief that government is too big, too large, and out of touch with you and I, everyday people. But I also believe there is a place in life for government. So that said, I'm a free stater in that I believe government is out of control, but I don't believe in no government, as in anarchy. So anyhow, you have a great day. It was a pleasure talking with you. And
good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning. It's IanFreeking.com. How are
Hi.
You?
Fine, thank you. How are
good
you?
Good morning, Ian.
Good. Fred, is this your last show?
Next month.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. So
it's next month, or it's good that he's leaving?
Oh, no. I think it's sad. I like hearing Fred on the air.
Oh, okay.
Air.
Well,
somebody,
wasn't my idea.
A love-hate relationship at best.
It wasn't my idea.
Okay. Well, I was calling to respond to the last person that called in talking about whoever it was, because for whatever reason, people don't use names on this show, talking about the representative so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
And,
former representative so-and-so.
Right, right. And I just wanted to point out that the last guy was claiming that that guy doesn't represent a majority of people. And I'd like to point out that at no point does any representative represent a majority of people.
Right.
I mean, if you just look at the voting numbers, as you guys were talking about before, in a municipal election here, it was 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So 90% didn't vote, and that's 90% of registered voters. So there's still a small amount of people. I think like 90-plus percent of people are registered in Keene, if I'm not mistaken.
It's about 16,000 people, or 16 or 17,000.
Right, and I think that if you look at the age breakdown, as far as people over 18, there's probably about 17 or 18,000 people in Keene that are in that age range. So there's
right.
a fair amount of people that are registered to vote, but most people just don't participate. So mm-hmm. at no point does any representative ever represent a majority of people. At best, they represent a small minority of a minority, and that is the people that actually participate in the voting process.
Right. You're clearly correct, I think the caller meant a majority of those who voted, but I understand your point.
He wasn't clear with that.
No, he was not.
Make sure that was clear. And also, even those people that are supposedly being represented couldn't possibly be actually represented, because I don't think that I could accurately represent the two of you. I mean, you don't agree on everything. So there's no way to really represent anyone other than maybe one other person or yourself.
But
and
Ian,
so
for
really the whole thing's a big joke.
For better or worse, it is the system that has existed for a couple of years in Keene and elsewhere. And it is what it is, and I know you don't like it. You make some valid points. I wouldn't say you don't. But unless it's change, and it's not going to be changed by taking photographs of people coming out of City Hall or smoking marijuana or fake marijuana, those things are just like thorns in the side of whomever. But they're not going to change anything. So, you know, that said, it is the system, and I know you don't like it. You don't participate to a large extent in it, But
I
it is.
I tried to participate. I tried to run for political.
Well, you
they
were
did
just
everything they could to prevent
you,
me.
You were just blowing smoke up everybody's skirt,
you know
Ian,
is,
and you know that.
You know what it is? It's they want total obedience.
They want you
they
to follow
want
the rules.
Down to every little diktat of theirs, even if it's not even even if it's not even their rules. They just make it up as they go along.
Well, our rules are that if you're homeless, you can vote. If you're not, you have to tell us where you live. And you tried to circumvent that, Ian, and you know darn well that you did. So you can fib to the rest of the listeners, and I'll let you do that, but I know better.
Oh, how are you?
Because I know where you live. I've been to your house, and you pay taxes there, and you have not given up living there.
Well, I don't know what their definition of homeless is, and I don't like reading their rules because they don't follow their own rules, Fred. And the fact is, if you look at their own rules, it makes it pretty clear that it's not necessary for them to know exactly where anyone lives. Obviously, they don't need to know that because homeless people are allowed to vote. As long as they know what ward you live in, that should be sufficient.
But why should they even know that under
it's
your...
It's not my interpretation that matters, see. It's only their interpretation.
Well, that's correct, because right now we have rules and regulations.
Somebody has to be in charge.
Yeah. Not
24%, by the way, is what Nick Ryder got in the election.
Say it again, please.
24% is what Nick Ryder got in this.
24 of 10%.
Yeah, and I don't think that's too shabby for a first timer.
No, I think he did well for himself. But Nick, if I understand it, would not characterize himself as a free stater.
He's a New Hampshire native.
There you go. But unlike me, I'm a free stater because I'm not native, and I moved here for a smaller government and a better way of life, like you.
Technically, you can be a free stater and live in New Hampshire, in that prior to New Hampshire's being chosen, there were 10 states that were on the option
list. Right.
And so there were some people that are already in New Hampshire at that time, and so technically there are some New Hampshire native free staters, but you know Nick is certainly a liberty oriented person.
Yes, he is.
A great guy.
He is indeed. All right.
That's all I had.
Have a great day.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I just wanted to get this in. One of the things we were talking about off air is that my got a phone call. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, dearie.
How are you?
I'm well.
I'm fine.
I'm even weller now that I get to speak to you.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Or gooder, is that better?
I don't care, whatever.
Gooder.
Listen, with two little grandsons, it could be anything.
Oh, yeah, that's the truth.
Anyway, that's the way it is. Okay, I would like to say this much. I just think living in this society, the free staters within the city of Keene, that's all I can speak for, are doing themselves in.
They are not winning friends.
No, they aren't. And I think Nick Ryder directed in the right position. Maybe just regularly living, growing up and living in the city of Keene. And I think he probably would be fairly productive, directed in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my opinion. And I voted for him.
Well, good for you.
And it's only because I believe it. Once he knew the rules and knew what was supposed to be, probably could have added something.
Well, he would bring another opinion to the table, and the council is made up of 15 opinions, some a little more close to the guy or girl next to them, and some really diverse. But you're right. Nick would have brought another thought to the table.
I think... because of his contact with the so-called free staters, probably might have done
the association didn't assist him.
No, it didn't at all, because I believe he should keep trying and probably would make it next time. And that's my personal opinion.
And do you think that he will try again?
I would like to see him do that.
I'm thinking that he will. I think he was really serious about his run. I really do.
Yeah.
And I think that he's certainly, I mean, I did an interview with him here, and I thought he really spoke well. I thought he said a lot of things that He made very clear that he was a libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing wrong with being a libertarian.
Not at all.
And so I would like to see him run again.
And I agree with you. And I think in the right direction, he probably would bring something to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And he understands how change is made. Change is made from within, not by throwing rocks against the windows.
Right.
You're absolutely right. His mother and father taught him well.
Yeah.
Right.